Ghost. Beetlejuice.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that uses the life force of Pandora as a steak sauce. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Adam Stone Cold Davis.
If you think I'm going to win this game of trivia, give me a hell yeah.
Chloe, the Scarlet Starlet Gracias.
Step aside, competitors. This diva is taking center stage.
And Paul, Chuckles the Clown Jensen.
A little song, a little dance. In this game, you have no chance.
Hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining us for the third elimination match in our Season 10 Pipe Dream Division, the last regular season match before we go to the playoffs. Keeping all the scores in order, as per usual, it's Scoremaster Dan. Hi there, Dan.
Taylor, I'm so happy to be here. I've spent all week getting shouted by people who think the Jersey Devil is real, so I'm glad to be dealing with some stuff where people understand the boundaries between reality and fiction.
I've seen the movie AG Double Hockey 6, Dan. I know the Jersey Devil is real. Also, behind the boards today, as always, let's say hello to Production Master Dave. Hey, Dave.
Ahoy there, me shivering matey heave-ho!
Well, that sounds like a perfect way to get into our first game of the day. It's a round of My Champion. In this game, each one of our players has picked a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture. The catch? We pick the challenge that those champions are about to undergo. New to our show, let's welcome 34-year-old still being bullied by middle schoolers and computer tech, it's Adam Davis. Adam, who is your champion today?
My champion is Galir Faith from Dimension 20's Fantasy High.
Coming back after competing in Season 7, it's musical theater production assistant and home chef extraordinaire, Chloe Gracias. Chloe, who have you got for your champion?
My champion is Mrs. Lovett from Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
And coming back after Seasons 3 and 5, plus some great bonus episodes, it's pub quiz host Paul Jensen. Paul, who is your champion?
My champion is from HR Puffin Stuff, and it is HR Puffin Stuff.
Excellent choices all around. Production Master Dave is on judging duty today, so let's go ahead and spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario, which champion would become the most successful Terror of the Seas in terms of terror? Adam, why is Dimension 20's Giliar Faith going to be the best Terror of the Seas, speaking specifically in terms of that terror element?
So Galir is going to be the best Terror of the Seas specifically because of his stepdaughter and her friends. His stepdaughter, Fig, is friends with a boy named Fabian Aramaeus Seacaster. Fabian's father was Bill Seacaster, the most notorious pirate on the seas in that world. When Bill Seacaster dies, he was such a feared and beloved pirate that he became a warlock patron, and he gave magic in exchange for payment to a bunch of other pirates. They went to hell with Bill Seacaster on his ship in hell, and Galir was there for all of it. Galir has seen firsthand what you need to do to be a fearsome pirate, and Galir is just going to stumble his way right into it and very accidentally hurt a lot of people.
Thank you, Adam. All right, Chloe, why is Mrs. Lovett from Sweeney Todd going to be the most successful Terror of the Seas?
So Mrs. Lovett's whole shtick is that she can talk herself into and out of absolutely anything. Not only would she walk onto that ship thinking she's like, oh, the lowly cook who works below the decks, but she would very quickly talk herself into being not only the captain of the ship, but also the one who gets rid of all of those who are unfortunate to meet her on the seas. She is ruthless. She is clever. She is cunning. And we all know that she can make a heck of a meat pie.
Thank you, Chloe. All right, Paul, make the case for HR Puffin Stuff as being the most successful Terror of the Seas.
Well, considering HR Puffin Stuff still lives in my nightmares from watching that television in the 70s, I don't know how much further he has to go. But there is a magic ship that he already knows how to deal with. He's dealing with witches all the time. And I'm pretty sure the HR in Puffin Stuff is just...
Thank you, Paul. All right, three great arguments, but it's ultimately up to production master Dave to determine today's winner. Dave, who is it going to be?
Yeah, isn't the guy from Dimension 20 like a middle-aged balding elf dad? Isn't that the character?
It's the ones you least expect that cause the most trauma.
You made a good argument for how other characters around him might be terrors of the seas, but I'm not hearing something for him in particular. Mrs. Lovett, I think if I was going up against a pirate that might turn me into a pie, I might be doing a little shivering. H.R. Puffinstuff, I believe, actually is a dragon, canonically. I think that is actually what they call him. And, you know, here be dragons. I don't know. If I see that little on a ship, I'm going to be in my pants. Even though he's a giant Muppet kind of thing. I am going to cop that this is nostalgia-driven, but that whole show was the stuff of nightmare fuel. Paul takes this one. H.R. Puffinstuff, yikes. Fills my pants with terror. He's our winner today. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Paul. You have won my champion, which means you get to take a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you get half a point to your name before we even start round one. Here is your half point question. In a 1990 movie, Christian Slater played Mark Hunter, a.k.a. Happy Harry Hardon, who ran this type of piratical operation.
It's a pirate radio station.
From the movie Pump Up the Volume, he's running a pirate radio station. Paul, you have won the half point, and you get to go first in round one, Tunes in Transit. The movies know that nothing passes the time on the road like a good sing-along. In this game, we'll play a clip from a movie of someone singing in a car or on a bus. You name the movie. For instance, if we played you this clip.
Moving right along in search of good times and good news. With good friends you can't lose. This could become a habit.
You know that comes from...
The Muppet Movie!
The Muppet Movie. That answer would get you 10 points. If you don't know it from the clip alone, you can ask for a hint, and we'll tell you two stars of the movie you're guessing, at which point a correct answer becomes just 5 points. Let's kick it off with our first clip for Paul.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo.
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 Galileo Figaro.
That is great. That is Wayne's World.
Good for 10. Next, we are over to Adam.
Mark! Yeah!
Ing!
Yeah!
Bird!
Yeah!
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 Mockingbird! Don't everybody have you heard?
Have you heard?
Oh, boy. That sounds familiar. I have a guess, but I want the hint.
This movie stars Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels.
I should have gone with my gut. Dumb and Dumber.
That's correct for 5. Next clip is for Chloe.
The taxi man turned on the radio, and the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. So I put my hands up to play my song. The butterflies fly away.
That would be Pitch Perfect.
Correct. Next clip is for Paul.
Tis the season to be jolly. Fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel.
Fa la 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 la.
Hey,
did
you try Carol? Fa la 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 la. Take it, Russ. Fa la 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 la.
That is a National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
The opening scene of that movie. Very good. Next up to Adam.
This is another one where I think I'm going to go with my gut. Is that White Chicks?
It is, singing Vanessa Carlton's 1,000 Miles with Terry Crews. Very good. Next clip is to Chloe.
Someday somebody's gonna make you wanna turn around and say goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Until then, baby, are you gonna let them hold you down and make you cry?
Did you know? Did you know? Things are changing. Things are going your way.
Okay. I think I just saw this in the movie. It's from. I'm going to go with my gut too. Is this Bridesmaids? Darn.
That song is in the movie Bridesmaids, but they don't sing it in a car. In this case, this is Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Oh, that's a shame.
Next clip, we are back to Paul.
Wow, that rings a bell, but I'm going to take that hint.
This movie stars Jack Black and Miranda Cosgrove.
All right, that's School of Rock.
In the back of that van, they are singing Immigrant Song in School of Rock. Next singing in the car clip is to Adam.
Friends are calling you.
It's lovely.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Horses,
jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
I am gonna need the hint for that one.
This movie stars Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
Well, that narrows it down. Well, that's what? That's either Sleepless or Seattle, or You've Got Mail. There might be a third one in there that's actually the correct answer, knowing my luck. I'm gonna go with You've Got Mail.
It's Sleepless in Seattle. Sorry, Adam.
That's fair. No, it's
also Adam, Joe versus the Volcano. You missed the third one. It could have been.
That's the third one. Yes, I knew there was a third one that I fully forgot.
Probably less singing in that, if we're being honest. Yeah. But you know,
I was really hammering home the rom-coms, as you do.
Next clip is for Chloe.
I'm going to brush some toothpaste, a flannel for my face, pajamas, a hairbrush, new shoes and a case. I said to my reflection, let's get out of this place.
Your girl's gonna need the hint.
This movie stars Winona Ryder and Ethan Hawke.
Oh dear. Oh no. I was just thinking I should have binge-watched more Winona. Okay, wait. For whatever reason, let's go with Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.
Forgot about that.
With that third utterance, he has arrived indeed. It is showtime. But in this case, this Winona Ryder movie is Reality Bites, where she's in the car singing with Janine Garofalo.
Mm.
And that'll take us to our first score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Everyone's on the board and doing okay so far. Chloe's got 10 points, Adam's got 15. Paul is in the lead with 25 points and the half point.
See if Paul can extend that lead further with this next singing in the car clip.
Everybody, green, green, rock and roll, yeah. Promenade in green, mm-hmm. Tell me who you love, tell me who you love. Nice.
I have no idea. Give me that hint.
This movie stars Oscar Isaac and Carey Mulligan.
Oh, it's Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yes, with a very annoyed John Goodman in the back seat during
that
scene.
That's right. That's right.
Next up to Adam.
See, I am Wonder Finn, and I'd like to say hello.
Say hello, Finn.
To the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, the purple, and yellow.
My first one, I got a bang, bang. A boogie to the boogie, say up, jump the boogie to the bang, bang, boogie, let's rock.
Huh. I feel like I'm too hyperfixating on Finn. I'm trying to figure out what that... I'll take the hint.
This movie stars Blake Jenner and Glenn Powell.
Blake Jenner, Glenn Powell? I mean, I don't think it's right, but it's the only Glenn Powell movie I know. Top Gun Maverick?
Little earlier than that, this is Everybody Wants Some, the Richard Linklater college baseball movie.
My friend is going to disown me.
Oh. Next clip is for Chloe.
Now, guys, check this out.
Ooh, let me get the hint.
This movie stars Michael Cera and Jonah Hill.
Okay. I don't feel good about it, but I'm going to go with Superbad. Oh, yay!
Good for five.
I literally just saw that movie like 3 weeks ago for the first time.
Yeah, when they're cruising around in the cop car singing some Van Halen.
Yes, I knew it. That's why. I was waiting for you to say Bill Hader. That's why.
Next up is Paul.
Ricky, don't lose that number. Send it off in a letter to yourself.
Oh my God, that's awful. Give me the hint.
This movie stars John Cusack and Ione Skye.
Wow, that didn't say anything.
The late, great John Mahoney singing some Steely Dan in the car didn't say anything.
Oh my God.
Correct.
It's been ages.
Next clip is for Adam.
Even though we ain't got money, I'm so love. Money and everything bring a chain of love, yeah. In the morning when I rise, bring a chain.
I'll take the hint.
This movie stars Janine Garofalo and David Hyde Pierce.
Oh, yes, of course. This is What Hot American Summer.
Yes, Ken Marino driving that van singing some Lagas in Messina. Our last clip of the round is for Chloe.
Would not be a fool in this game for two. So I'm leaving you behind. Bye, bye, bye.
I know this one. I saw this when I was way too young. I'm going to take the hint just to be safe.
This movie stars Britney Spears and Zoe Saldana.
Yeah. I believe it's called Crossroads? Yeah.
Yes, the Shonda Rhimes penned Crossroads. Well, that will do it for round one. Up next, scores from Dan and on to round two.
Going around two, it's time for the second Christopher Nolan Temporal Causality Paradox Score Break, brought to you by the first Christopher Nolan Temporal Causality Paradox Score Break. If you haven't heard the first Christopher Nolan Temporality Score Break, maybe it hasn't happened yet. Don't think about it too hard.
Just feel it.
Right now, Paul is in lead with 35 points and the half point. Chloe and Adam are tied with 20. And that means that Chloe is going to get to go first in round two.
But it also means that Chloe and Adam get to work together to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. Chloe, Adam, I'm going to ask the two of you a question that has three possible answers. You, working as a team, will have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points split evenly between each of you for each correct answer you can provide. Your Threequalizer question is, there are three words or terms from the Oxford English Dictionary which have, as their first reference, a Usenet post about a US TV show. One is an adjective meaning extremely good or excellent. One is a term meaning to watch multiple episodes of a television program consecutively or in rapid succession. And one is a noun meaning a romantic pairing of two characters who appear in a work of serial fiction, especially one which is discussed, portrayed, or advocated by fans rather than depicted in the original work. What are those three words/terms?
Well, I feel like two and three are obvious. Binge for two.
I agree. And the third one should be shipping.
Shipping, yeah, or shipped.
Or shipped, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think either tech or like context should be taken.
Yes,
but that's just
yeah. Here's the thing. An adjective meaning extremely good or excellent. The first thing my brain went to, because this is about a TV show, but this is from a TV show, which is the word cromulent from The Simpsons, which is in the dictionary, I'm fairly certain.
Ooh.
If you don't have anything better, that's my swing for the first one. But I'm not fully, like, I'm not 100%. But that's the best I got.
I am not opposed. I'm a little concerned only because it doesn't match the, like, when the other two would have come around.
Yeah. That's what threw me off.
But I hear you, teammate. I do hear you.
Yes.
And worst case scenario, we split two of them. And you know what? Let's go on the journey. So the word is cromulent. Am I saying that right?
Cromulent, yes.
Okay.
It's a perfectly cromulent word.
Excellent. The first one is cromulent. Rude. The second one is binge. And the third one is shipped or shipping.
Yes. I thought that was a pretty cromulent answer myself.
The one you missed is awesome sauce, which comes from Kids in the Hall.
Awesome sauce,
now in the Oxford English Dictionary.
And for the record, perfectly cromulent is an indication of
adequacy. Yes.
Well, listen, one man's adequacy is another man's extremely good or excellent.
One man's cromulent is another man's awesome sauce. So put that in a bottle and sell it.
And cromulent, of course, it actually comes from The Simpsons itself. So it actually is in the OED, but the first reference from The Simpsons episode, this is from the discussion boards talking about it. So couldn't have been the first use there.
But still, 10 points to each of you for that Usenet-based answer. Hey, speaking of things that are totally dead, let's go to round two entitled, Where You Going? Sure, religion can try to tell us what happens after we die, but we're more interested in what pop culture says about it. In this game, we'll tell you about what happens to at least some of us after we die, according to a pop culture property. You name the property. So, if we told you that this show posited that because there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, everyone on Earth has been going to hell for centuries, and the demons have had to come up with some creative tortures, like having the damned torment each other, you'd know that was a vision of the afterlife from...
The Good Place.
The Good Place, that answer would get you 20 points. If you need more help, we can give you some more details about the property, but then a correct answer is only worth 10. Afterwards, you can get another 10 points by answering a question about a song that references heaven or hell. Let's start with our first pop culture afterlife description for Chloe. Aman and Tol Eressa are called the Undying Lands not because people there don't die, but because they're mostly populated with immortal creatures, and they seem to be entirely segregated by race. So maybe think twice before getting on that ship from the Grey Havens.
I think I know this. I'm pretty sure it's a Marvel television show with Oscar Isaac in it. I'm going to go, I'm probably saying it wrong, but who cares? I'm going with Moon Knight.
The Undying Lands in the Grey Havens are from J.R.R. Tolkien with The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I'm a bad Tolkien fan. Oh, this can't come out now. It just can't. We have to scrap it, guys.
Oh, no.
Start over.
No. Magnus to the hard drives.
Chloe, you still get a musical follow-up. He had albums titled both Bat Out of Hell and Bat Out of Hell 2, Back into Hell.
Let's go with Alice Cooper.
Adam?
Meatloaf.
He'd do anything for points, but he won't do that, meaning get the question correct.
Oh, he even has a musical called Bat Out of Hell.
That is true.
I knew that.
We are over to Adam. Hell is a little more chill since Satan broke up with Saddam Hussein, but it turns out that heaven is only for Mormons.
I believe that's South Park.
Correct. Adam, in this 1979 track, AC/DC sings that they have no stop signs, speed limit, nobody's gonna slow me down.
That is Highway to Hell.
Correct. Full 30 for Adam there. Next, over to Paul. If you get pushed out of LA County's Vasquez Rocks, you might wind up in hell. Well, you'll be tormented by most heinous things that scared you as a child. Or if you can tell the gatekeeper the meaning of life, you might join Albert Einstein in heaven.
I think you're going to hear me say these words a lot during this round. Hint, please.
This is a 1991 comedy sequel.
Is it Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
The second Bill and Ted movie for 10. Paul, Guns N' Roses started playing this Bob Dylan song during live shows in 1987.
That's sad. It's knocking on heaven's door.
Good for another 10. We are back to Chloe. Things may be bad on Earth, but you can take a train down to the underworld where the king will guarantee you a job. You'll soon forget everything and everyone in the world above as you labor to build the wall.
This would be Hadestown.
Quick answer for 20 from Chloe. Still for Chloe, Robert Plant has said that this song was, quote, some cynical aside about a woman getting everything she wanted all the time without giving back any thought or consideration.
I'm so sorry, Dad. I don't know.
Paul?
It's okay. It's Stairway to Heaven.
Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin with Stairway to Heaven. Next to Adam. The afterlife seems to be just a bland suburban neighborhood. The question is whether you want to stay there for all time with your current spouse, who can't seem to put the forks in the dishwasher correctly.
I'll take the hint.
This is a 2018 Maya Rudolph TV series.
Maya Rudolph TV series from 2018? About the afterlife? I don't think this is right, but is it Upload?
The show on Amazon is called Forever with her and Fred Armisen.
In my defense, the Upload is also on Amazon.
Yes, it is.
I'll take a half point. Thank you.
Still for Adam. This song was inspired by a trip Robert Smith took with his then-girlfriend Mary Poole to Beachy Head at East Sussex.
So this is when it's really revealed that I know so little about The Cure. I know that it's Robert Smith, and I know that Friday I'm in love. But I'm not coming to anything regarding heaven and or hell, or the afterlife or what have you. I am going to have to pass.
Paul?
It's called Just Like Heaven.
A different song by The Cure, but yes, that is Just Like Heaven.
I just love the idea that Just Like Heaven refers to East Sussex. It's not something anyone's ever said about East Sussex before.
Next pop culture afterlife description is for Paul. After you die, you have a 5-day layover in Judgment City, where a 2-person judicial panel will review scenes from your life and decide if you deserve to move on or have to be reincarnated.
An underrated Albert Brooks movie called Defending Your Life.
Fantastic answer. Still for Paul, Ghostface Killah and Raekwon were supposed to have joined Justin Timberlake on this Jay-Z track where he questions religion.
Ooh. Is it called Heaven?
There's no question mark in the actual title of the song, but yeah, we'll take it. Heaven is that Jay-Z track. Next, we are over to Chloe. A roomy Wild West stagecoach takes its passengers on a nonstop trip to Fort Morgan. When you get there, they'll drop you off at a hotel where you can walk up the stairs into an ethereal light.
Ooh, it's fun not to have any idea. I'll take the hint, please.
This is a 2018 Coen Brothers anthology movie.
Oh, no. Nope, I don't know. Pass.
Adam looks like he knows this one.
A fantastic movie. Shout out to my boy Tim Blake Nelson. That is The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yes, this afterlife sequence, the 6th of the 6 sequences in The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Still for Chloe, the Eagles sang that this place could be heaven or could be hell.
This place could be heaven or it could be hell. Well, I suppose that can be very situational, but from the Eagles' perspective, again, I don't know. Oh, my father's going to be so disappointed in me.
Paul?
Since I'm probably your father's age, that is Hotel California.
Oh, that's why. That is my least favorite song of all time.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Speaking of the Coen brothers, I've had a long night and I hate the Eagles.
Perfect. Adam, this next one is for you. After you die, you'll just stay in your house, where you should consult the Handbook for the Recently Deceased, and probably just learn to coexist with the new inhabitants.
Okay, so we hit it earlier, so I do have to loop around and do it three more times. I believe that's Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.
We got it twice, yes. Thank you, Adam. That is Beetlejuice. Still, for Adam, in a 2012 hit, he sings that he's been locked out of heaven for too long.
Oh, that actually scratches something in the back of my brain. But unfortunately, it's at the back of my brain, and not at the front of my brain.
Might just be spiders.
Locked out of heaven for too long. Oh, no, that's, okay, my gut, I think my gut was correct. Is that Bruno Mars?
With his hit, Locked Out of Heaven, yes. Chloe so angry, finally music from 2012, and it's not her question.
Darn it!
Next, we are back to Paul. In what certainly looks like a budget afterlife, the dead just put on a sheet with cut-out eye holes and stand around invisibly watching their loved ones move on.
I need a hint.
This is a 2017 David Lowry movie.
Oh, okay. Or name a David Lowry movie. I pass.
Adam, what's that movie?
I know, Taylor, I believe you, like myself, are a blankie.
Oh, yeah.
So shout out to David Lowry. I believe that's A Ghost Story.
Correct, with Casey Affleck under a sheet and Rooney Mara eats a whole pie. It's great. Still for Paul, according to this glam rock band, a certain illicit drug might function as a, quote, one-way ticket to hell and back.
You're looking for the band or the drug?
The band, please.
Okay. One-way ticket to hell and back. Glam rock. I'm going to go glam rock guess here with T-Rex.
A little bit more contemporary glam rock. That is The Darkness.
Oh.
And that'll take us into our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we actually ask questions about contemporary music. So The Darkness, you know, contemporary glam rock. And that song is not subtle about the cocaine at all. They just come right out and say it. Right now, Adam is in the lead with 90 points. Paul's got 85 points and a half point. Chloe is trailing with 50.
See if Chloe can start catching up with this next pop culture afterlife. After death, you move on to the land of the dead. Well, you're a fun-looking skeleton, and things are great as long as your relatives remember you on El Día de los Muertos.
Ah, something I know. This is Coco.
From Pixar, that is Coco. Chloe, Spooky Mormon Hell Dream is a song from this musical.
That would be the Book of Mormon.
Full 30 for Chloe on that question. Next, we are back to Adam. Every year, the chosen few throw a ball and competition. The winner, after being left with the memory of her days in the sun, gets to ascend bodily to a layer of the sky where they can be reborn.
Okay, I have a gut reaction, and I have a gut feeling. I'm gonna Philip Rivers it and just throw it deep downfield. Is that Cats?
The musical Cats. Very good. Adam, in the song Anti-Hero, she fantasizes about not leaving her theoretical daughter-in-law money, causing the disowned woman to exclaim, quote, she's laughing up at us from hell.
Is that Rihanna?
Chloe?
Taylor Swift.
Rihanna does have an album called Anti, but the song Anti-Hero is Taylor Swift. Next to Paul. The dead, or sometimes people who just wander in, go to the Black Lodge or the White Lodge. In the Black Lodge, you'll encounter the Dweller on the Threshold, a doppelganger personification of your own darkest impulses.
I'll take the hint.
This is a 1990 Kyle MacLachlan TV show.
Well, then it must be Twin Peaks.
Yes, the Black Lodge, the center of all evil in Twin Peaks. Still for Paul, CeeLo Green and others covering this classic have changed the lyrics to read, quote, and one religion too.
That is the song Imagine.
Very good. One last pop culture afterlife for each player. This one is for Chloe. When people die, they get a gray sweatsuit and a blue orientation folder and are recruited into Heaven's bureaucracy, where they work in places like the Department of Mammoths or the Department of Male Nipples. The guy who's supposed to be answering prayers has been checked out for years.
Oh. I think I'm going to take the hint, please.
This is a 2019 Daniel Radcliffe TV show.
Is... Oh, I just started watching this, and I know the one clip that's been all over the internet. Oh, I don't remember the name. I have to pass.
Adam, what's that show?
I believe that's called Miracle Workers.
Yes, specifically the first season before they changed things up in the later years.
Mm.
Still for Chloe. An early song in Jesus Christ Superstar has this character singing the pleading, Heaven on Their Minds.
I believe that's Judas.
Opening up that show, very good. Next to Adam, at least one race upon death goes to either Stovokor, where they party forever with Kallus the Unforgettable, or Greythor, where they are branded with a mark of dishonor and have to hope that one of their relatives devotes a great victory to them.
All right, so that's real Nordic. This is another one where it's like, do I just throw it deep with a guess? That is just, this is pure gut reaction. I haven't watched it. Or do I ask for a hint? I'll take the hint.
This is from a sci-fi franchise that started with a 1966 TV series.
I'm so glad I took the hint. A sci-fi franchise, 1966 TV series, you said? Is it Star Trek?
If you hadn't taken the hit, where were you going to go with that, Adam?
My brain went to the TV show Vikings. Then I was like, wait a minute, I don't think that show is supernatural.
Yeah. No, definitely borrowing some other mythological elements over there on Star Trek.
And we should give context there, of course. This is the afterlife for the Klingons, the Klingon afterlife in Star Trek.
All right, follow-up question for Adam. In a 2019 song about climate change, she sings that, quote, all the good girls go to hell, because even God herself has enemies.
A 2019 song about climate change. I'm going to guess a singer who I know is like fairly, like pretty decently socially active and does a lot of good work. Is it Miley Cyrus?
Paul, who sings that song?
That's, I think it's Billie Eilish.
It is. Nice job. Paul, a last question is for you. When you die, you go up there, where people have an annoying New England accent, and you can get a chance to go back for a day and redeem yourself by doing something as simple as whisper to someone that they are loved.
Well, isn't that nice? Hint me, please.
This is a musical that debuted on Broadway in 1945.
New England accent, you can go just whisper to somebody and go back. Boy, oh boy. I'll go with Damn Yankees.
Definite afterlife elements in Damn Yankees, but this one's a little earlier. This is Rodgers and Hammerstein's second musical, Carousel.
Oh, yeah.
Still for Paul. Eric Clapton played this song about the death of his son on MTV Unplugged in 1992.
That's Tears in Heaven.
10 points for Paul to close out round two. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to our last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly answer Dan's pop culture riddle by the time our next episode comes out, and you can win a chance to name a score break here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
With a music box, it begins and ends. A Cole Porter-based film about socialite friends. Not a love triangle, more of a square. Though Kitty and Michael make quite a pair.
Think you know that answer? Then hit the link in your show notes or head to usaquizshow.com/riddle to send in that riddle and win that prize. We'll announce the winner as well as the correct answer over on Instagram and Twitter. We are at USA Quiz Show on both. It's the last episode of the regular season, so that means we're already gearing up for season 11. Think you have what it takes to play in the big leagues? Then head to usaquizshow.com/apply, put your name in the hat, and join us here on a future season. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. Let's hear a score update.
Certainly. I do want to say, remember, I do not write the score updates, the score sponsorships. They are given to me, and I just Ron Burgundy it. So here we go. Going to round three, it's time for the Dan Cassino score break. Dan Cassino. Hey, ladies. Feeling lucky? Right now, Adam's lead is 120 points. Paul has 115 points and the half point. Chloe is trailing at 90, but that means she gets to go first in round three.
But anything can still happen as we get into the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are reviving an ancient art form, fraternities, puzzle boxer, and at least one thumb way up. Now, those topics are a little bit mysterious from their names alone, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on, or maybe something that sounds easy you want to take to keep it away from one of your fellow players. Chloe, in third place, you get to choose first. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are reviving an ancient art form, fraternities, puzzle boxer, and at least one thumb way up.
I think I'm going to go with reviving an ancient art form.
Do you have any guesses as to where this lightning round might be going, Chloe?
Maybe it's a lot of like Indiana Jones style pop culture references. I don't know. I don't know if that bodes well.
Completely different direction here. In this case, the ancient art form that barely exists anymore, at least not in the way it used to, is the TV sitcom. So we're talking about TV sitcoms that premiered in the 2020s. So very recent TV sitcoms. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Chloe, are you ready?
Yes.
In the title of a Comedy Central series, she is Nora from Queens.
Pass.
In 2021's The Crew, Kevin James is the leader of a pit crew in this motorsport.
F1.
NASCAR. This Jeopardy host stars in the U.S. version of the British sitcom Veranda.
Pass.
2021's Call Your Mother has this The Closer star as the titular mother.
Pass.
A 2021 Marvel stop-motion sitcom featured this character played by Corey Stoll in a movie.
Pass.
Soleil Moon Frye stars in the 2021 revival of this 1984 sitcom.
Pass.
Like many Ben Falcone projects, God's Favorite Idiot features this Gilmore Girls actress.
Oh, God. Lauren Graham.
Melissa McCarthy. 2022's reboot stars Keegan-Michael Key and this Jackass star.
Steve-O.
Johnny Knoxville. FXX sitcom Dave stars Dave Bird, who goes by this diminutive rap name.
Lil Dicky.
Animated sitcom The Great North stars Nick Offerman and this obvious child star.
Macaulay Culkin.
Jenny Slate. This 2023 revival has Melissa Rauch as Judge Abby Stone.
Pass.
Rutherford Falls stars this actor from The Daily Show and The Hangover.
Pass.
Ed Helms, the star of Rutherford Falls on Peacock. All right, Dan, let's hear the Chloe report.
All right, these recent shows are always hard. You know, it's much better when we're asking about the Honeymooners and anything on Dumont. People do much better with that.
Hey, ladies.
Ladies love the Dumont Network. Oh,
those ladies can't hear you.
Let's go through the passes first. Awkwafina is Nora from Queens. Mayim Bialik stars in Call Me Cat, which is the U.S. version of Miranda. Kira Sedgwick is the star of The Closer and Call Your Mother. A 2021 Marvel stop-motion sitcom features MODOK, the mobile organism designed only for killing. Soleil Moon Frye stars as Punky Brewster in the 2021 revival of that show. And Melissa Ross stars as Judge Abby Stone in the revival of Night Court. Chloe got one correct answer, giving her 100 points. Not a bad showing, but not enough to put her in the lead. Paul is up next. He has 115 points and the half point, so he'll need just one correct answer in order to pull into first.
All right, Paul. Three category choices left for you. They are fraternities, puzzle boxer, and at least one thumb way up.
I've played this game before, and I have been burned before.
Paul's having Disney Channel original movie flashbacks right now.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you right now, I passed that theme on to my quiz players, and they hated it just as much as I did. You're welcome. I'm going to go with at least one thumb way up.
Where do you think this is going, Paul?
I've got two ideas. It's either going to movies that Ebert liked but Siskel didn't, or hitchhiking movies.
You are right in the Roger Ebert talk, but in this case, we're talking 2000s and 2010s movies that Roger Ebert gave 4 stars. So the post-Siskel era of Roger Ebert's film criticism career. 90 seconds on the clock. Paul, are you ready?
Sure.
In a 2012 movie, James Bond's family estate is called this.
Skyfall.
This swordfish and Catwoman actress plays multiple roles in Cloud Atlas.
Halle Berry.
In Spirited Away, Chihiro finds that her parents have been turned into these animals.
Pass.
This Robert Zemeckis movie was inspired by the crash of Alaska Airlines 261 in 2000.
Flight.
In a 2011 movie, Ezra Miller and Jasper Newell play this troubled youth.
Pass.
This Michael Haneke movie has a couple terrified by surveillance videos left at their door.
Cachet.
Claire Foy and Noomi Rapace have played this role. Rooney Mara had it in a 2011 version.
Oh, yeah, pass.
This X-Men actor played the android David in Prometheus.
Michael Fassbender.
David Lynch pieced this 2001 thriller together in part from a failed TV pilot.
Mulholland Drive.
Contact was based on a book by Ann Druyan and him.
Carl Sagan.
Russell Terrier Uggie was credited in this 2011 Oscar winner.
The Artist.
Asa Butterfield has the title role in this 2011 Scorsese movie.
Hugo.
Moneyball was based on a nonfiction book by this Liar's Poker author.
Pass.
Michael Lewis, the author of Moneyball and The Blind Side and The Big Short, among others. All right, good round, Paul. Dan, let's hear the Paul report.
Paul did indeed have a good round. We'll go through the passes first. In Spirited Away, Chihiro finds their parents have been turned into pigs. In a 2011 movie, Ezra Miller and Jasper Newell play Kevin, as in the one that we need to have a conversation about at some point. Claire Foy, Naomi Rapace, and Rooney Mara have all played Lisbeth Salander, also known as the girl with the dragon tattoo, who also kicked a hornet's nest and probably did something else, but I don't remember the titles of all the books.
Played with fire.
Paul had 9 correct answers, giving a total of 205 points and the half point. That means Adam is going to need to get 9 correct answers, matching his score in order to take the win.
All right, Adam, pressure is on. 2 category choices left for you. They are fraternities and puzzle boxer.
I should have done worse in the regular game because that was absolutely the category I was hoping to get. I think I know what puzzle boxer is, and I'm not sure how confident I am.
You can just say it. No one else can take it.
That's a good point. It's definitely a J.J. Abrams category. It has to be a J.J. Abrams category. But fraternity is so, could be anything. Screw it. I'm throwing it deep. Let's do fraternities.
Well, I can't say definitively one way or the other whether you were right or not about the puzzle boxer category, but I can say that fraternities, in this category, all answers include the word brother or brothers. So a whole mix of things. The word brother or brothers will be in every answer. 90 seconds on the clock. Adam, are you ready?
Yes.
Between 2000 and 2022, Julie Chen hosted more than 400 episodes of this CBS reality staple.
Big Brother.
In a 2001 series, Damian Lewis and Donnie Wahlberg are among this title group.
Pass.
Among other Disney Channel appearances, this trio showed up in Camp Rock 2.
The Jonas Brothers.
This psychologist played herself on dozens of shows, including Ally McBeal and Melrose Place.
Pass.
Following the release of Ghost, this group's Unchained Melody hit the charts for a second time.
Pass.
Twins Drew and Jonathan Scott anchored this HGTV show.
Property Brothers.
Yul Brynner and William Shatner starred in a 1958 adaptation of this Dostoevsky novel.
Pass.
30-something star Polly Draper cast this Nickelodeon show with her own fully clothed sons.
Naked Brothers, man.
Rian Johnson directed this 2009 Rachel Weisz, Adrian Brody con man movie.
The Brothers Bloom.
Julie Newmar didn't get to show off her dancing skills in this 1954 Stanley Donen musical.
Pass.
This comedy group's first talkie was 1929's The Coconuts.
The Marx Brothers.
Manchester electronic duo Tom Rowlands and Ed Simons are better known as this.
The Chemical Brothers.
Calista Flockhart and Sally Field starred in this 2006 ABC drama.
Pass.
Conflict arises from the marriage of Richard Jenkins and Barry Steenburgen in this 2008 comedy.
Step Brothers.
Nice job, Adam. All right, Dan, let's hear the Adam Report and our final scores.
Oh, I love when it's close. In a 2001 series, Damian Lewis and Donnie Wahlberg are among the band of brothers fighting in World War II. The psychologist who played herself on dozens of shows is Dr. Joyce Brothers. The group behind Unchained Melody is The Righteous Brothers. Yul Brynner and William Shatner starred a 1958 adaptation of The Brothers Karamazov. The movie in which Julie Newmar didn't get to show off her dancing skills is Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. And Calista Flockhart and Sally Field star in Brothers and Sisters on ABC. Adam needed 9 correct answers in order to take the win. He had 8. That means our final scores are Chloe with 100, Adam with 200, winner with 205 points and the half point. It's Paul.
It's a squeaker. Whoa. Well done, everybody. That was good.
Well done.
So good.
Well, well done.
Nice job, everybody.
Wow, that was fun. Whew.
That just took 15 years off of my life.
Can you make it take 15 years off of my life? Yeah. That would be awesome.
Well, congratulations, Paul. Second time on the show entering the playoffs. Very exciting. But before we go, we do need to say goodbye to Chloe and Adam. Fantastic game from the both of you. Please come back and play with us again. But Chloe, is there anything you would like to plug, anything you'd like to point our listeners towards before we go?
Yeah, if you're ever curious about what's going on in the Chicagoland area for musicals and opera and all kinds of fun things, follow me on Instagram at Chloe Makes a Musical. C-H-L-O-E Makes a Musical.
And Paul, anything you would like to direct our listeners towards?
If you are in the Seattle-Tacoma area, I host pub quizzes there. It's all at quizfix.net. We also do private stuff. And I've started a podcast with my friend Jade, where we compare sequels and remakes. It's called Shall We Compare Thee? It's out on Apple and YouTube and places like that.
Awesome. And you can also follow Paul as the clown face emoji over on our Season 10 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the Season 10 playoffs, starting with the championship match in the Allegro division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
Actually, while we're pausing, I'm going to let my dog out of the room.
Ooh, let the dogs out. Dave.
Ahoy there, me shivering matey heave-ho!
I don't know why that tickled me so much.